way, you'll get to hear from myself, our family pastor, Steve Van Horn, and we have a great lineup of guest speakers that we are looking forward to having here with you. So you can be looking forward to that. Today, I get to start our brand new teaching series. It's called Influencers. Whether you like it or not, we live in an age of social media. And there are influencers on every platform, whether it's TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook. There are influencers. These are people who use their influence, their personality, their skills, their charisma in order to shape culture, to set trends, or even sell products. Which actually, that reminds me, today's message is brought to you by Tapatio Hot Sauce, available at fine retailers near you, such as Walmart and Stop and Shop. Go get some. No, I'm just joking, but it didn't land. That's okay. We're cleaning the carpets tomorrow, so we'll be all set. That's what they do, right? They use their influence in order to sell something, in order to be able to make a shape in culture, to shift what's going on around them. And they also are just involved in what we do in our day-to-day lives. It's something that we see on the regular. But what I want you to ask yourself throughout this series is, we all have influence. How are you using your influence? How are you choosing to use your influence? We're going to be in this series for 3 weeks. So over those next 3 weeks, how are you choosing to use your influence? When we look at what influence is, here's what influence is. Influence is leadership. If we're really shaping the things around us, that means that we're leading. In fact, I want you to see this. Here's how we're going to define influence. It's the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. And so if that's how we can lead around us, it is about bringing shape to those things around us. It's about developing the people around us. Your influence can actually change the decisions that someone else makes. And here's what I want you to understand, that everyone can influence someone else. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, not me, I can't influence someone else. Everyone can influence someone else. And sometimes we do it inadvertently, because maybe we're that Debbie Downer, we're that Eeyore, where we're always just down inside. You know what you're doing? You're influencing people to take a step back from you, because your decisions are just negative all the time. You know, we want to see what the change that Jesus has made in each one of us, the joy that he can bring into our lives, and have that type of inadvertent influence on other people. So when we walk into the room, people are excited that we walk into the room, because they say, man, this person's going to bring joy. This person's going to bring excitement. This person's going to bring health into this room. Everyone can influence someone else. And I think we can all agree with this, that everyone is influenced by someone. You know, I have the privilege to be able to work as a pastor. And so here are some of the pastors and authors that I learn from, that I read their books, and there's many other men and women that I learn from. And I read their books, I watch their sermons, and because I want to be able to get better at them, I want them to be able to influence me in my lives. And one of these guys, he actually does this thing, and I never really paid attention to it, but, you know, as I'm watching, when he'd go to make a point, he'd lean in. And I was always like, oh, okay, like that's his thing, you know, that's fine. And one day, I'm speaking to a group of people, and what do? I lean in. And I remember talking to people, but in my head, I'm doing this, and I'm looking around, I'm like, what's going on? Why is this happening? What? You know why? Because he influenced me. There are different people that are going to influence you. Rick is a pastor that I learned from, and you know, we're going to miss him for these months that he's gone, but he influences me. And sometimes I'll say something, and I'll call someone girlfriend or baby, and I'll say, oh my goodness, it's like I'm from Modoc, Indiana. Look at the influence that Rick is having on me. There are different people in your life that influence you. Go back to when you were a kid. Who influenced you as a kid? For me, it was baseball players, always baseball players. I tried to field like Cal Ripken Jr. My windup looked just like Mike Mussina's windup. My batting stance looked like Gary Sheffield's when I was goofing around in the backyard. It didn't help me play baseball, I still stunk. But that's who influenced me as I was a teenager, right? You start to look at the people that are older than you. And I can remember there was this group of like 20-year-olds. I thought they were the coolest guys ever. You know what they did? They cuffed their jeans. And so you know what I did? I went out and bought longer jeans so I could cuff them, right? And I was like, man, I look good. Like this is what's going to make me so much cooler than I actually am, is these cuffed jeans. Parents, you need to understand the influence that you have on your kids as a parent. And here's how we all know, parents, that you have influence, is because every adult in this room, what did we all say when we were kids? I'm not going to be like my parents. And every one of you, every one of us, we are just like our parents. You know, my dad, he does this thing. When he's on the phone especially, he has this laugh that he does. It's a chuckle, right? And and it's only when he does that. And like 2 months ago, no joke, I was in my office, I'm on the phone call with someone, and I hear this chuckle come out. And I was like, that's me! And I was like, why am I doing that? That's not my thing, that's his thing! But that's the influence. You know, my dad is an amazing guy. I'm blessed to have him. But that's the influence. Parents, you have an influence on your children. You know, go back to social media. We look at people's social media and we let those people influence us. And so maybe we try and make our profiles look like their profiles. We have a certain aesthetic that we have on there. We try and mimic some of their posts. You know, you guys all know everyone first Dells of summer, right? You take that picture and you do that because you've seen other people do that. Or maybe you are, there was a thing at one point where everyone took pictures of their shoes. I can remember that. That was so weird, but everyone did it. And then now maybe you see someone and you say, oh, they're so beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take this picture of myself. I'm going to do a good filter, good lighting, and it's going to make my lips pucker, and it's going to, you know, my eyelashes are going to be popping. And, you know, my parents always said, I should go take this down. My parents said, just because everyone else is doing it, you don't have to do it, right? This is one of those cases. But this is what influence does. It shapes the decisions and the behaviors that we make. Now, as we walk through this series, we're going to be going through the book of Titus. Titus is a letter that Paul wrote to this young leader, Titus. As we're going through this, there are devotionals that we would encourage you to take on your way out. They're at all of our locations. So Lincoln, South County, there's those devotionals up there for you as well. And it's just an 8-day devotional that you can do at your own pace as we're going through this, just so that way you can go a little bit further. It's also available in the resources tab in your church center app. So go ahead and you can walk through this devotional with us. But we're going to be in Titus chapter 1 today. So you can go there. And here's where we're starting. Paul says, I'm writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share. Now, let's stop right there. When Paul says true faith, what it's thought to mean is that Titus was actually a direct convert of Paul. So Paul shared Jesus with him, and then Titus made a decision to follow Jesus. He says, yeah, I'm in, let's go. And because of that, they have this bond that they form. So he says, hey, you're my true son. And he says, I left you, Titus, on the island of Crete so that you could complete our work there and appoint elders in each town as I instructed you. Titus is a young leader. It's thought that at the time of this writing, he's in his 20s. Some people think that he was even in his early 20s. He'd served with Paul before. Remember, earlier this year, we went through that book of 1 Corinthians today about the city of Corinth. And Titus has already been there 2 times, maybe 3 times at the time of this writing. And now he's on Crete. Paul says, we left you on Crete. If you're looking at a map, you know, you look at Greece, and just south of Greece is the largest Greek island. That's the island of Crete. That's where Titus is as he writes this. Now, Paul's saying, I left you there to complete something. See, we started something and we couldn't finish. We hit the stalemate. We kind of ran into some things. And now, Titus, I'm leaving you responsible for what needs to happen on the island of Crete. Now, what needs to happen, what we're going to do is we're going to actually jump ahead to verse 10 so you can see what it is that Titus is up against. And here's what Paul is telling him. He says, hey, there are many rebellious people who engage in useless talk and deceive others. This is especially true for those who insist on circumcision for salvation. So what I want you to do as we go through these next few verses is just capture these ideas. Who are these people? What is the culture like in Crete? So what we can see is, hey, they're rebellious. They get stuck in these useless discussions, so they lack focus. They're deceptive people. He says they must be silenced because they are turning whole families away from the truth. So this is a serious matter. He says they do it by their false teaching. Again, there's a deception that's happening there. And they do it only for money. There's a greed in this culture. Then we go on. He says, even one of their own men, a local guy, a Cretan, he says about them, he says, the people of Crete, what's he say? They're all liars. They're cruel animals. They hurt each other. They're malicious, right? And he says, and they're lazy gluttons. He says, this is the kind of people that we have here in Crete. And Paul says, listen, that's what that guy says, but this is true. He says, so you, Titus, what I'm asking you to do is to reprimand them sternly and make them strong in the faith. You need to help them get back on track. You need to, Titus, you need to be the one to help them understand what it is that they're actually supposed to be doing and how to follow Jesus well. He says, they must stop listening to Jewish myths and commands of people who have turned away from the truth. So what else do we see about this culture? That they're misguided. Now, if we were to pause and say, hey, they're misguided, they lack focus, they're rebellious, they're greedy, they're lazy, they're cruel, they hurt each other. And then we compared that to our own culture. I think we'd say it's actually scarily similar. See, that's what Titus is up against. Now look at Paul. Here's why he says it's happening. He says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. He says, Titus, what's happening here? This isn't because they aren't following the right steps. They're not doing A, B, C, or D. He says, Titus, what's going on in Crete? There's a major heart issue. There's a problem with people's hearts, and their hearts are far from God. He says, that's what you are walking into. And he says, such people claim that they know God, but they deny him by the way that they live. And look at this is heavy, so get ready. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. Paul says, if your heart is not aligned with God's and you claim to know God, but you don't actually live like you know God, Paul says that that's detestable. Church, we got to get our hearts aligned with God's. We got to make sure that we are walking step in step with him. See, Titus is hearing all this. Now think of how a 20-something leader is feeling about this. Paul's saying, hey, Titus, remember we left you here and there's this big heart issue and there's all these things that you need to take care of? Imagine the weight that Titus is feeling. If you were there, if Rick left and he went on his sabbatical and said, Justin, the Rhode Island, you got to get their hearts right. I'd say, see you later, bro. Like, I'm out of here. I'd be gone, right? There's no way. But let's go back to verse 5 and see how Paul has set up Titus. He says, I left you on the island of Crete to complete our work and do what? Appoint elders in each town as I instructed. He says, I want you to appoint leaders in each town. I want you to appoint influencers. Now see, one person can't change our state. But if we spread out, and we have an influence over our state, over our culture, over our region, that's where we'll start to see some of that change come up. And here's what I want you to understand. Paul is about to walk into a description of what kind of leader he's looking for, what kind of influencer he's looking for. And what you're not going to see in this bit is you're not going to see Paul describe how to lead. He's not going to give the A, B, and C's of leading. But what he's going to do is he's going to describe what kind of leader is going to have good influence. Who is leading themselves well so that way they can influence others? So here's what I want you to understand. If you can leave with one thing today, it's that your best influence happens when you lead yourself well. If you want to be a great influence to your kids, to your families, to your workplaces, if you want to be a great influence to those people in your lives, you need to start leading yourselves well. And here's where we're going to go, is we're going to move forward and we're going to look at what it is that Paul is saying to Titus. He says, Titus, when you're looking for these elders, for these leaders, for these influencers, first thing he says, they must live a blameless life. This is the first thing that Paul mentions, a blameless life. Now, I remember walking through this passage one time with a couple of our students, and I asked them, I said, hey, what does that mean to live a blameless life? You know, I thought they gave the best answer to that, the best definition. And one of them says, a blameless life means you live your life in a way that no one can have any dirt on you. Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. You live your life in a way that no one can dig up anything. So if someone starts a rumor about you, everyone else can say, absolutely not, no way, because I know that this person does this, this, and this. There's no way that they could ever get caught up in that. This is what Paul says. First thing, that's the way you should be living your life. And then he says, he must be faithful to his wife. Let me pause right there, because I know some ladies are saying, hey, does this mean this isn't for me? No, this is still for you, because all of us should aspire to leadership of some sort. All of us should want to grow and have good influence to the people around us. Now, Paul's speaking directly to the culture there and what's happening in the church there, but every one of us should aspire to this type of character in our own lives. So when he talks about faithfulness, he says, hey, you should be faithful to your spouse. Now, I want to go off on the side here. Don't confuse faithfulness with loyalty. See, sometimes we say they're one and the same, but I want you to think of it this way. Loyalty is a part of faithfulness. Faithfulness is so much bigger, because faithfulness is about respect in a relationship. Faithfulness is about a commitment beyond just the loyalty of not having an affair. Faithfulness is about actually being committed to that relationship. Faithfulness is about what you say when your spouse isn't around. Faithfulness is so much bigger than just loyalty. Sometimes we check that box of loyalty and we said, yep, I nailed it, I'm done. But faithfulness is so much bigger. So he says you need to be faithful to your spouse, to your husband, to your wife. And your children must be believers who don't have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. Here's what I'm going to say about that. Parents, the most important thing that you should want your kids to understand is how deeply Jesus cares for them and loves them and the sacrifice that he had for them. If you can get your kids to understand that Jesus loves them so much, God loves them so much that he gave his son Jesus, he came, he died the most horrific death for them. He was buried 3 days later. He rose again. Why? So that they could have a relationship in the kingdom of heaven for eternity. That should be the most important thing that you can instruct your kids in. Which means their grades are not as important. The all-star team is not as important. The most important thing, parents, that you can do is help your children understand who Jesus is and why he should be a part of their lives. Paul goes on, he says, an elder, an influencer, a leader is a manager of God's household. So, again, he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. Arrogance just seems to come out of us sometimes, especially once we start leading. Because when we lead, we think that, hey, we get this. People are letting us kind of make some decisions around here. And what happens? We think we're always right and the other person's always wrong. We think that our ideas are better than everyone else's. And this arrogance starts to come up and it starts to kind of build up inside of us. And I need to warn you against that arrogance. Why? Because as leaders, as influencers, we need to build people up and not cut them down. And you know, a lot of times that happens with just the way that we talk to people. And we have these conversations, and it's so easy and quick for us to just knock someone down. We do it in the way that we joke around. I'm going to say something some of you guys might not like. I don't like sarcasm. Sarcasm, it just kind of like, I can feel the arrogance in it. Why? Because you use it to cut people down so many times instead of building other people up. There are better ways to make jokes than sarcasm. And so this is what Paul's saying. He says, watch how you're interacting with people. Watch the arrogance that's going to come out of you. And then, if we're going to lead well, if we're going to lead ourselves well, we have to get control of our tempers. Remember we talked about how our parents make such an impact in our lives? Parents, I'm going to talk to you one more time today. You have to get control of your temper. Why? Because that's something that is going to influence your kids. That's going to be how they see how to solve problems. And when you blow up every single time, guess what's going to happen when they get older? They're going to explode that same way because they don't know how to go about a problem. They don't know how to respond in a healthy way. And we all know this. No one likes to feel angry. It's not a good thing. And you, I think you all know this too. It doesn't solve anything. If someone cut you off and you're on the road and you're cussing up a storm and throwing them whichever finger you can first, right? It's not going to change the fact that that person cut you off and they're way past you already. So don't let that take control. Your anger is a choice. And so you need to choose what is actually worth being angry about. There is a righteous anger. But you need to get control of your temper. And then you see, he says, hey, watch your drinking, your violence, how you handle money. And then, look at this. Paul says, hey, here's what an influencer or leader should do. They must enjoy having guests in his home. I remember reading that and being like, why have guests? What if I don't like people in my house? Like, they leave a mess. They move things out of place. I have to clean up for them before they get there. Like, why have guests in your home? I think if we look at how Jesus led, Jesus was a servant leader. Mark 10:45 says that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus is speaking about himself there. So what better way to serve other people and lead other people than inviting them into our home from time to time and letting them see us in our truest, most authentic form of our home. So he says, must enjoy having guests in your home. You must love what's good, must live wisely and be just, be fair. And then he says, he must live a devout and disciplined life. And as I was reading that this week, here's what I thought. I said, you know, Paul, I think he didn't say this because he didn't know this word. But if he knew this word, he would have said it. He would have said, stop being so flaky. He would have said, you know, when you actually commit to something, commit to it. Actually follow through on something. You know, a lot of people, they say, hey, I want to lead when it works for me. And when it fits my schedule, and when it's convenient, and if I can fit it in here, and if I show up on time, you know, I'll be there to help out. And if I actually have the time to prep, then I'll find that time and I'll prep. Stop being so flaky. If we're going to lead, leading is a commitment. And that's what Paul's getting at. He says, you need to be committed to this. You need to be disciplined. You need to actually set aside time. So if you want to lead your family well, it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to be because you think about how you're leading your family. If you want to lead your workplace well, it's not going to happen just because you show up to work every day. It's going to be because you're intentional about how you show up to your workplace. It says be committed and disciplined. And then, here's what anchors it all. Paul says, an influencer, a leader, must have a strong belief and the trustworthy message. I'm noticing this right now. I highlighted the wrong part here for you. Can in your Bible, highlight must. You must have a strong belief and a trustworthy message. Why? Because that's what brings it all together. That's what helps you hold strong to what you know and to how you're actually going to lead. It's what it helps you keep your motivation and understand what is going to drive you to lead. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's because I understand that the gospel is too important for everyone not to know. And so that's what's going to drive me. So I must have a strong belief. And then what's Paul say? He says, if you have that strong belief, it's going to help you encourage other people, and it's going to help you stick to your convictions when you need it most. So, what do we do now? How do we lead? Where do we lead? I would encourage you, please, my hope, my prayer for you is that you would lead in your homes. That you would lead in your neighborhoods. You know, I remember when I was a kid, like I felt like everyone in the neighborhood knew everyone, and that's kind of a dying thing. But what if you helped bring community back to your neighborhood and you led that way? What if you led in your workplace and you really set a healthy environment in your workplace and you led that way and you led in a way that pointed people back to Jesus? You know, our hope is that you would lead here. You've heard Rick say over the past couple months that in the fall, we're hoping to have 400 volunteer roles filled, over 400. That can't happen on its own. We need leaders to make that happen. We need people who are going to have influence over others in the church. So will you help us lead? If that's where you're at and you're saying, hey, I want to, I just don't know how to. I don't know how to take that step. Will you email me this week? This is my email, justin@hoperi.church. Will you just send me an email and say, hey, I've been serving here or there or doing whatever, and I'd like to take that step into leadership, but I don't know what that would look like. Or maybe you're just new to our church in general and say, hey, how can I help out in that way? What steps do I need to take? Email me. And let's sit down and let's talk about it. If you feel that way any time during this series, you send me an email and I would love to connect with you and just get to know you better and figure out how we can get you to help serving our church and leading our church. But let me walk all of us into some next steps together. So you can go to your Church Center app and you can hit that connection card and your next steps will be there. Others of you, you can use that bulletin. But here's our next steps for today. The first is that I'm not sure how I'm influencing others. So this week, I will work on my self-awareness by asking someone close to me how they see my influence. So parents, it looks like maybe talking to the other spouse and say, hey, how do our kids see me? What are they actually learning from me? What are they learning from me that's good? What are they learning from me that's not so good? Maybe it's doing that same kind of conversation at work and talking to a coworker that you trust and that you know well and say, hey, when I walk into the room, how does everyone else respond about that? When I walk out of the room, how does everyone respond? And if you're going to have that conversation, I'm going to say this, brace yourself. Because you might get some really hard feedback in that conversation. But it's feedback that is going to help you become a better leader, a better influencer. It's going to bring out your best influence when you really understand what influence you're currently having. And then our other next step for today, it comes back to the idea of a blameless life. So here's what I'm asking. This week, I will develop a plan of self-leadership and put it into action. You know, we kind of raced through some of that, but one of the things Paul mentioned was about avoiding being a heavy drinker. Maybe for you, you need to actually take a look at how much you're drinking and say, hey, maybe I do drink too much and I should take a step back and only drink on special occasions. Maybe I need to get all the alcohol out of my house. Maybe for you, it's about that temper. And you need to talk to someone that you trust, that you're around a lot, and you need to say, hey, when you see my temper flaring, can you just give me a nonverbal signal so that way I understand and I can see that is happening and you can help me catch that? Maybe it's about how you handle money and you say, oh, I want to be blameless with money, but I just struggle at that. And so you have some financial accountability brought into your life. That's for you to decide. What is that plan? And then not just make the plan, but to actually put it in. Would you do that this week? Make the plan and then start practicing it. Start putting it into action. So our hope is that we would lead well. Not just that we would lead ourselves here at Hope Church, but that we really would be that influence that changes our state. You know, Titus, he had to bring that influence to the whole island of Crete. And we live in Rhode Island. Don't tell me that Rhode Island's not an island. I know that. Don't send me your emails. I get it. But we live in Rhode Island. Can we make our influence make an impact in the state that we live in? That's our hope and our challenge for you as we go through this series is how are you going to choose to use your influence? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for the relationships that you've given us, for the people that you've put in our lives. And Jesus, we just pray that as we are around those people, that you'd help us be so aware, that we'd be so intentional, that we would know the influence and we'd understand the influence that we have on them. Help us gain an awareness of the inadvertent influences that we have in our lives. But Jesus, we want our influence to make a difference for you and for your kingdom's sake. So God, we ask that you would continue to show us that one person each day that we can demonstrate your love to, that we can show them the joy of our salvation and the joy that of the life that you've given us and the hope that you've provided for us. So God, we just ask, would you have us be a great influence? Would you bring out our best influence? Because our best influence is going to point people to